Penguin Audio presents American Theocracy by Kevin Phillips, read by Scott Brick. Preface. The American people are not fools. That is why pollsters, inquiring during the last 40 years whether the United States was on the right track or the wrong one, have so often gotten the second answer: wrong track. That was certainly the case again as the year 2005 closed out. Because survey takers do not always pursue explanations, this book will venture some. Reckless dependency on shrinking oil supplies, a milieu of radicalized and much too influential religion, and a reliance on borrowed money, debt in its ballooning size and multiple domestic and international deficits, now constitute the three major perils to the United States of the 21st century. Shouldn't war and terror be on the list? Yes, and they are, one step removed. Both derive much of their current impetus from the incendiary backdrop of oil politics and religious fundamentalism, in Islam as well as the West. Despite pretensions to motivations such as liberty and freedom, petroleum and its geopolitics have dominated Anglo-American activity in the Middle East for a full century. On this, history could not be more clear. The excesses of fundamentalism, in turn, are American and Israeli, as well as the all-too-obvious depredations of radical Islam. The rapture, end times, and Armageddon hucksters in the United States rank with any Shiite ayatollahs, and the last two presidential elections mark the transformation of the GOP into the first religious party in U.S. history. The financialization of the United States economy over the last three decades. In the 1990s, the finance, real estate, and insurance sector overtook and then strongly passed manufacturing as a share of the U.S. gross domestic product, is an ill omen in its own right. However, its rise has been closely tied to record levels of debt and to the powerful emergence of a debt and credit industrial complex. Excessive debt in the 21st century United States is on its way to becoming the global fifth horseman, riding close behind war, pestilence, famine, and fire. This book's title, American Theocracy, sums up a potent change in this country's domestic and foreign policymaking. Religion's new political prowess and its role in the projection of military power in the Middle Eastern Bible lands that most people are just beginning to understand. We have had theocracies in North America before, in Puritan New England and later in Mormon Utah, but except in their earliest beginnings, they lacked the intensity of those in Europe, such as John Calvin's Geneva or the Catholic Spain of the Inquisition. Indeed, most of the Christian theocracies touched on by historians shared two unusual and virtually defining characteristics. First, they were very small in geographic terms. Second, and more important, they were the demographic results of migrations by true believers. The population of John Calvin's 16th century Geneva was swollen by French Protestant refugees, and the Dutch Reformed Calvinists of the Netherlands got a kindred infusion from Flemish refugees fleeing Spanish-controlled Antwerp. The Massachusetts Bay Colony, in turn, was built by English Puritan emigrants, and the 19th century Mormons in Utah represented still another Zion-bound migration. As for Spain, despite militant Catholicism and the infamous Inquisition, it was too large and varied a nation to fit the small-scale theocratic pattern. 17th-century attempts to shut down Spanish theaters, gambling houses, and brothels failed, and the golden age of Spanish literature and art, from Cervantes to El Greco, flourished in Toledo and Madrid under court, church, and noble patronage, despite periodic homosexual reports and scandals that the Inquisition did not greatly pursue. Theocracy in America is of this lesser breed. The United States is too big and too diverse to resemble the Massachusetts Bay Colony of John Winthrop or 16th century Geneva or even 19th century Utah. A leading world power such as the United States, with almost 300 million people and huge international responsibilities, goes about as far in a theocratic direction as it can when it satisfies the unfortunate criteria on display in Washington circa 2005. An elected leader who believes himself in some way to speak for God, a ruling political party that represents religious true believers and seeks to mobilize the churches. The conviction of many voters in that Republican Party that government should be guided by religion, and on top of it all, White House implementation of domestic and international political agendas that seem to be driven by religious motivations and biblical worldviews. All of these factors and many more are discussed at length in Part 2 of this book.